Even before the news of the cases of coronavirus in Jamaica and other Caribbean countries, Bajans were already buying up hand sanitizers. Right now, it's hard to get them, face masks, some disinfectants, and hand wipes. Toilet paper is also in great demand. There are those who say it's all panic and hysteria, but the reality is, we know nothing about living through a pandemic. And with all the challenges of how we get people to respond individually and collectively in a pandemic, here's the other big challenge. The economy is going to take a hit as people reduce travel and tourism gets the first big blow.
Trading was temporarily halted on the markets in India, Thailand and South Korea because of the speed of losses. European shares have bounced back, having sunk to their lowest in almost 4 years, following the US announcement of a 30-day restriction on travel from Europe's 26-country Schengen area. And most of the emergency actions taken by governments to reassure the markets do not seem to be working. Can anything steady the markets at the moment, with millions of people across the world staying home from work, not travelling, and with shops, theatres and sports stadiums shutting down? It seems more and more likely there could be a global recession. Let's ask Supriya Menon, who joins me from Pictet Asset Management, which analyses global markets. Do you think it's inevitable, Supriya?
Yes, so we're certainly very likely to have a global downturn, a sharp contraction in activity, thanks to the fact that essentially, demand and even from the supply side, production of many items of services has ground to a standstill. So we would expect a recession in many developed markets this year, as well as in China. And it's likely to be quite sharp and quite severe. I think there's no escaping that, even in the U.S., which has been actually on the most solid footing of all the developed markets, we would now expect a recession.
And how will that recession compare to the economic crash of 2007, 2008?
Yes, it's a little bit different. In this case, we have an exogenous shock to the markets and to the financial and economic system. It is, of course, a medical emergency that has hit the economy. It was different last time in that it was basically stemming from the workings and imbalances in the financial system itself. So it's very different in that it also has halted productions. People can't even often work through this crisis, and that makes things very difficult, especially from the government point of view, when essentially they have to prop up demand. But what if supply is a problem? So that makes it slightly more complicated. But, it is likely to be less severe than what we had in the last financial crisis. That said, there's a lot of uncertainty, and you have all of these pressures on the one hand, a deliberate effort to stop economic activity, to halt the crisis, and to stem damage for the weakest. But at the same time, on the other hand, you have stimulus coming in. So governments trying to loosen open the fiscal taps, and also central banks working to restore confidence in the system to lower both the price of money and improve the quantity of money through the banking system.
And what more can governments and central banks do? Is there anything more up their sleeve?
Yes, they have a few different things they can do. And For our part, we'd like to see more fiscal stimulus coming through in both Europe and the US. So we have yet to see a significant fiscal package in the US. I know they're working on it, but you need both specific measures to help those who will be most impacted and also provide help to the healthcare system, but also more general measures. They've talked of a payroll tax cut, for instance, but there are other things that can be more widespread and more significant in magnitude that they can do. So we're quite likely to see more action on this either today or over the weekend.
Connected between countries.
And what are you discovering?
So this is a really useful tool for giving us some information about how the virus is spreading as far as what countries seem to be exporting different strains, but also it can do really useful things like tell us where local transmission is happening. So we had a really exciting case last week where we had some samples that came in from a flu study actually in Seattle. They weren't taken as coronavirus tests, but when they were tested, we found out these people did have coronavirus. And because the samples were so similar to each other using our tool, we can actually tell that this is spreading widely in the Seattle community. That helps people take the correct action to stop local spread.
That's what it's useful for taking correct action. For instance, if you can pinpoint an outbreak in Australia down to a single traveler from Iran, how does that help?
Well, mostly it's a little more general than that. We don't necessarily always are able to tell which traveler may have brought something. But for example, if we had five new samples, five new cases.
That's Supriya Menon talking with the BBC, and this has been Sajikrit's Early Business.